You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
He preached a full-fledged sermon. I mean, he went to high up 12 o'clock, got through, and the old farmer asked him at the end, he said, sir, you really, I think that was necessary since it's just me and you. And the preacher said, let me ask you something, farmer. He said, when you go out to feed your cattle, he said, if only one shows up, you don't feed them? He said, oh no, I feed them, I just don't give them whole load. So we're not going to do that, but we've got some things I want to talk to you about. I hope you find them interesting and maybe can apply to us. Brother Charles is going to come with some special music. And for those of you new, once Brother Charles or our special music starts, then we're kind of in lockdown in here. The restrooms are closed and refreshment bars closed, and we're all adults, so you can hang with us for about 20 minutes. So anyhow, we appreciate you being here, and we look forward to being of any help if we can be. Thank you.
Don't fall. We have to tell each other that on account of we don't have the dark hair and stuff that we used to have. So, sir?
I don't think the hair has got anything to do with it.
It don't? Oh, you know what? Jesus went to the grave, spent 3 days, went to hell, got the keys from Satan, and now he has risen. Jesus laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. The people thought he'd been stolen away. They looked inside, there was nobody there. The tomb had an echo, it was silent and bare. Gone, Jesus had risen. He went down to hell with the keys in his hand. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. That tomb is still empty where Jesus once lay. There's no other like it to this very day. No one could explain it, but they knew it was true. He arose from the dead like he said he would do. Gone, Jesus has risen, ascended to heaven to the Father's right hand. He locked death away in eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. Gone, Jesus has risen. He went down to hell with the keys in his hand. And he locked death away in eternity. eternity's prison. The grave has been conquered for every man. The grave has been conquered for every man. There it is. Jesus is gone back up to heaven.
In your Bibles tonight, if you would, with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, we got some guys that can get you some. If you just lift your hand, we'll get it to you. And let me say this about the Bibles. If you don't have one here with you, then you just keep that one as a gift to you from the rec room. We'd love for you to have it. That's one of the things you should never leave home without. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's interesting to note that this Bible started being written probably about 900 after Adam was born. For 5,000 years it had, well, it hadn't for the last 2,000. But it's amazing how many Bible characters we know and what other things we don't know. The atheists know a lot of Bible characters. A person who might never frequent church knows about Abraham and Jacob, David and Adam and Isaac. David is one of those guys that's, if you want to read about a swinger, read the life of David. Now, this guy is something else. And we remember David was the second king of Israel. But we only remember a couple of things as a rule about David. One is that he killed Goliath, the giant. And the other is he committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's amazing. We probably remember more bad about people than we do good, as a rule. That's more interesting to hear, isn't it? We like to get to the juicy part. But we know these Bible characters. And let me tell you how odd that is. How many of you can tell me who the Heisman Trophy was 5 years ago? Who can tell me who Miss America was 5 years ago? But we can remember them. The whole world, twice a year. One of the things I love about Easter is that the whole world is reminded that Jesus died on a cross and rose again. Every year, two times a year, the world, the Muslim world, the unbelieving world, the rotten world is reminded that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to come to save his people from their sins, and that he died on the cross and rose again twice a year. You can't get back. There's no place that it doesn't get to anymore with the cell phones and TV and the satellites and all of this stuff. Everybody has to hear it. Nobody can stand before God and say, I just didn't know. Sir, I didn't have a clue. We hear it. We know that. And David... we're going to talk about the part where he killed Goliath tonight. That other part that we believe about him, and David is God's child, suffered very much for his sin, for committing adultery with Bathsheba. He got her pregnant, and the baby died. Then one of his sons raped his daughter. And then another son killed that son. And then one of his sons tried to kill David and take his kingdom. You're not gonna, Bible said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. David did that. But we'll talk tonight about when David was probably 17. He wasn't old enough to go to war. And talk about him facing a giant. So in 1 Samuel 17, it said, now the Philistines gathered together their armies, verse 1, to battle, and were gathered together in Shuchah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shuchah and Azekah. Boy, I can't pronounce that one. Probably Fort Worth. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And that was the valley between them. And there went up out of a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. This guy's 9 foot 9 inches tall. I mean, he'd make Wilt Chamberlain look like a midget. 9 foot 9 inches tall. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. I don't know why, wouldn't anybody could hit him out of high anyway. But he had a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's 166 pounds. Most of you just can't even lift that little long wire coat that weighs that much. He had graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's 24 pounds. Now, to give you some proportion of this, a college shot put weighs 16 pounds. That's pretty heavy if you ever picked one of those up. High school shot put weighs 8 pounds. This guy, about 24 pounds, just his spearhead, huge man. And every day he comes out and challenges Israel. And we'll read about that in a moment. Well, let's go on while we're here. Let's just read on down. And he, verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. This guy's pretty much of a bully. And by the way, the only practical person with Israel, Saul, was about 7 foot tall. Saul, it says, was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And Saul is not about to get out there with this guy. There is no way. And the Philistines said, verse 10, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Jesse was an old man at this time. He's got 8 boys. David is the youngest one. 3 of the elder, listen in verse 13, sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And it gives us the name of those 3 sons. Verse 14 said David was the youngest. And David is back home. Said he went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse, David's daddy, said unto David's son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fire and take their pledge. So they're up fighting. Jesse's daddy said, you tuck his food up to them, give it to the captain. They're going to need some things and see how they're doing. Come back and tell me. Let's go to verse 32. Because when David hears the Philistine, well, let's look back verse 26. David is up at the front line now, and he spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Talking about Goliath. And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 29, David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? His brother got on him. Son, you just come up here snooping around. You get back and take care of your sheep. You don't have no business up here. You just come to see what's going on. You're too nosy. David said, there's a reason I'm here. What is the cause? Let me insert this. There's a reason you're here. Is there not a cause? Nothing. The word accident and luck does not appear in the Bible. And David says to Saul, I'm whipped guy. This is a 17-year-old boy. He's too old to go to war, so he's got to be 17 or less. But notice in verse 33, Saul said to David, they're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for they're but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth when he rose against me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David's not saying because I can do it. Amen. He said this guy's over. He's challenging God. Amen. And he can't do that. Verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go. Yeah, right. Yeah, you go do it. I'll back you up and watch your belly beat blue. Yeah. He said unto Saul, said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Yeah, you walk out there in that arena. I'll pray for you. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now here's a guy 7 foot tall. Puts his armor on the kid. He put on helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor and said to go. For he had not proved them. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. He said, I don't know how to fight in this kind of stuff. One, it doesn't fit. Way too big. There are just some things sometimes that don't fit us. We just don't feel comfortable with it. It may be the best there is. It may be the latest. But we just don't feel comfortable with it. I'm kind of that way about computers. Goodness. Just give me that old Royal typewriter. He said, I can't take these. You know what David went to fight with? A slingshot and a stone. Goodness, no headgear, no shield, no protection. Look at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Let me insert right quick here. The reason he got five is because Goliath's got four brothers. We'll find that out. Because he only uses one on Goliath. He chose him five smooth. And by the way, some of you Bible scholars, that's not a rock band. Five smooth stones. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou shouldest come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Everybody's got a god. Can be a false one, but everybody's got one, even if it's themselves. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I'm not coming alone, David said. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is his battle, not mine. Verse 46 says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I'll take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistine this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the world may know that there's a God in Israel. Skip down to verse 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone. Notice he loads on the run. I think I'd been behind a rock trying to find something else. He hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, put his hand in the bag, took hence a stone and sling it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. I was reading in one of my reference Bibles, and the guy that put it together said that Goliath got confused and left his helmet at home. Now let me tell you something. All of y'all watch football. Have you ever seen a football player leave his helmet and go out in the game?
Nope.
I never have. I played that game for 12 years. Never one time did I leave my helmet on the sideline. Let me tell you what David did. With the power of God, he throwed that stone plumb through that headgear. That headgear's going to come to here. It doesn't do any good up here. It's going to come right here. David threw the stone. God sent it right through his helmet and killed him. because there's a God in Israel. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and that's all he had, a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. I imagine this is all David could do, to pick that sword up. But notice, Goliath lost his head in that battle. They saw their champion was dead and they fled. The war's over. David won the battle with the simplest of weapons, a slingshot and a stone. Now, I hope you kind of followed through that, because I want to give you three things real quickly that will apply to all of us. Number one, you have at this present time, or will have very soon, a giant to fight in your life. You don't get through life without them. Some of us got a lot of giant. It may be cancer. Or it may be the criminal justice system. Maybe a prosecuting attorney. A lot of different things you have or will have a giant in your life. Number two, you can win without the help of the world. Amen. We turn to a lot of help in the world. You can win without it, with the God of Israel. One day as Jesus was teaching, some hyper-religious people brought along a woman and him and just interrupted the meeting and turned to Jesus and said, "We caught this woman in adultery in the very act. Moses said she ought to die. What do you say, Jesus?" Jesus just stooped down, rolled on the ground. I've read a lot of different explanations of what he wrote. None of them, nobody knows. The Bible doesn't say, so I just kind of assumed he was taking names. But they said, they kept begging, "Well, what do you say about it? She needs to die." And all they were trying to do was catch Jesus in his words. And Jesus stood up and he said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." Just go ahead and kill her. Anybody here doesn't have any sin, throw the stones. That was Israel capital punishment, stoning. And the Bible says that they left one by one, the oldest first. The reason the oldest first is because they got more sins. The longer you live, the more you're going to sin, the more I'm going to sin. But they left, and then he looked to the woman. And he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she said, "No man condemneth me, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And then he gave her some instruction. He said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't say go and get treatment. He didn't say go and taper off. He said, "Go and sin no more." Most of us can solve our problems in a hurry if we just follow that advice. Stop it. Very simple. That's the giant many of us fight. But you don't need the help of the world to do it. You need God's help. That's what David had. He didn't have Saul's armor. He had God's help. And the third thing, you can lose it all with all the help in the world. But we're going to win or we're going to lose. One day we're going to stand before the Lord, and He's either going to say, come in, or no, you can't come in. I think it's Murph the Surf that said, I think people have credited this to him, but he said, sin will take you places you don't want to go and keep you a lot longer than you want to stay. That's been my experience. And I can tell you this, as some of you here tonight, you cannot remember the last time you had some real joy and some real peace in your mind. Problems, problems, problems. One right after the other. You don't get rid of that. You only get somebody to carry them for you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my burden is light. He will take it for you. Every now and then somebody says, Leland, you don't realize the burden I got. Well, if you got one that's heavy, you got the wrong one. It's not the one Jesus gave you. One you selected. Every day is filled with misery, disappointment. Your life is not what you'd planned it. Haven't had that joy and peace that we weren't looking for, that we thought was out there. And like the prodigal son we talked about a week or two ago, the famine came and we ended up in a hog pen. Hungry, miserable. Burden. I want you to bow your head a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, please. And you're here tonight. And you say, Leland, I'd like to have that peace. I'd like to have that joy. I'm tired. I can promise you tonight that if you're willing to say, Lord Jesus, I trust you to save my soul, to cleanse my sins. He will do it. He's never said no to one person that sincerely asked him. And you say, Leland, pray for me. I want to get rid of this life and have something better. I want something better. Would you just slip up your hand? I'm going to pray in a moment. Would you say, just pray for me. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. You slip them right back down. Yes, I see your hand, sir. A lot of hands went up. Now listen to them carefully. I'm going to pray. While I'm praying, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm tired of it. Lord, whatever it takes, I want you to take my life and cleanse my sin. And when I finish praying, we're going to stand, head still bowed and eyes still closed. Brother Charles is going to begin to sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I want you to walk down this aisle. There'll be somebody here to show you in the Bible how you can know that you're going to heaven from this day forth. Our Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. Maybe there's some that didn't lift their hand that should have, but you know their hearts. And this very night, Father, we pray that you'd get these folks off of the old, terrible, bumpy road into a life of joy and peace that passeth understanding. We ask it in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, as Brother Charles begins to sing? Would you step right out now? Come right on. Come right down here. We'll have some people that can talk to you. I want to be saved tonight. You lifted your hand. Now step out. Come on. Yes, sir. Come right on, sir. God bless you. Come right on. Now. Come on, guys.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.